Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the DGDG.com studios in downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
Good morning. Sunday morning.
Open Sunday.
Major Sunday morning. The Open. When did that happen?
You know, for my life, it was the British Open.
Yes, mine as well.
But the Brits, you know, they're mad at us Americans, so they're like, it's the Open, because it's the greatest, the longest running championship in golf history.
Oh, dear.
Thank you. The Open sounds like the Ohio State University.
Yes.
Know? Like, shove it.
Exactly.
That's how I feel about it. But don't shove this Open. You know why? You know why?
He's on the prowl. I'm so fired up for this.
There's good news and bad news. The good news is it's always fun when Tiger's in the hunt on a Sunday. The bad news is Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky, is wearing his red and not at all paying attention to the program.
I'm going to do my best to multitask, I promise.
Just all I ask is don't be rude to our guests.
Oh, I will not. But if I'm going to be honest, if Tiger hits an eagle or birdie putt, I might scream.
Yeah. All well, fair. See if you can get to the mic first. You know? See if you can get to the mic button before you start yelling. But look, I understand because I'm nowhere near as much of a golf nut as you are, but I see the red shirt, one stroke behind the leader and only one hole ahead. And I'm excited.
10 years. 10 years, Matt, this guy has been trying to get back to this point. And a year ago, this is why it's so important, because like, he brought me into the game. There's a whole crew of guys my age. The video game.
I'm not sure crew does it justice. There's an entire generation of golf fans that is five times the size of previous generations of golf fans.
Totally agree.
Due to Tiger Woods.
Yes. And so like to see him after the DUI last year, after the video that was released and how awful. I mean, that was a terrible look. And he looked completely on one and out of it, and then you know he's driving a vehicle. It was the worst judgment possible, but clearly the guy's life was in shambles. He had major back surgery, so to have him just in contention on my television on a Sunday, I didn't think this would happen again. This is like Barry Bonds coming out of retirement and going for the home run chase, or I don't know. It's like,
and I wasn't sure how if I was totally convinced until shortly before I came in here. I think it was coming up the fifth fairway, I saw a little smile. Because he's had that pained look on his face, which he always did that.
Yes.
But he's had that pained look on his face, I feel like, for all three rounds so far.
Yeah.
And somewhere around the fifth, I don't know if he had seen that Spieth and, say it again, Scheffley?
Xander Schauffele.
Schauffele.
Yeah.
I don't know if he saw that Spieth and Schauffele were struggling on the seventh or what, but walking up either the fifth or sixth fairway, all of a sudden his caddy said something and a little Tiger smile, and I just thought, uh-oh.
What makes a golf outing, or I guess tournament, very unique is when you're on the course and you're ahead of someone, you can hear the cheers behind, and there's no other sport like that because everyone kind of plays in the same arena. Right?
Yeah.
And all of the fans are watching the same thing. And it looks like he's going to par this hole. But so he's clearly listening to the gallery behind him because, you know, and I know he's got the biggest gallery, but they're going to follow the leaders because they were three strokes up heading into this round. Now you got Jordan hitting out of the snuff. But we had a great baseball game last night.
Yeah. Let's before, because once we get down to the last few holes, there's really going to be no talking to Joe Shasky. So before Before we get bogged down into golf for the remainder of the show, let's talk about an awfully bizarre baseball game.
I thought it was a really well-played baseball game.
Sure.
At certain points in the game. And it feels like, to me, Matt,
a weird start for Bumgarner, though.
You know, this is the second time where the box score doesn't show to me that he just did not have command of his stuff, and also he didn't have the confidence to attack the strike zone. And I love Bumgarner.
Well, okay. Let me just stop you quickly. Is it confidence, or does he not? Has he lost the control for the moment? I'm not saying, look, he'll get it back, but is he not feeling the strike zone right now?
See, I'm kind of torn on this because I have seen him in recent, when he returned, he looked really good and dominant.
Had a couple starts, he looked
really
good. Yeah,
really dominant. But then there's other times where he can't control the fastball, which is, ooh, the fastball? Like, I get it with the breaking pitches, but not only can he not command that, he can't command the secondary pitches either. And so now he's falling behind in counts, all right?
Yeah, and just quickly.
Walking guys.
Yeah, 6 walks in 4 innings. And also, just if you look, you know, you said the box score, it kind of does tell the story that he couldn't find the plate. 92 pitches, 47 strikes.
In 4 innings. 5 innings. You know, it's the bigger thing to me is the optics. Like, he just never looked comfortable. And look, I know a lot of Giants fans and A's fans were complaining about the strike zone last night, and I get that. But Bumgarner wasn't close. He was missing away. He was missing low. He just, again, you could tell when he has supreme confidence, he attacks the zone.
Right.
He was not attacking the zone. And when you're ahead in counts, then you can kind of get guys to fish and go a little farther outside of the strike zone. When you're behind in counts, now you have to come in on people. And he didn't get tagged per se, but again, when you're giving up free base runners, and I think that plays into the A's. Part of why the A's are really, really good, not only do they mash the ball, but they're very patient and selective. And that's one thing I've learned.
They take good at bats. That's a hallmark of the A's organization going way back.
They do. And that's one thing that I've grown appreciative over the last 5 games of watching the A's very, very closely. It's their at bats and the strategy they have when they get in the box, even if it's their lesser batters. Like, I really like the at bats that they were having.
Well, it's the old sort of baseball bromide, if you will, have an idea.
Yes. Yes.
The A's seem to have an idea, most of them, in the batter's box. To be fair, this Giants team is pretty good at that, too.
Yes.
I mean, certainly both Brandons go in there with a real idea of what they want to do, sometimes so much so that people have criticized them. Posey obviously hits that way. Sandoval and Hanson maybe doing things a little bit differently, but uh-oh.
Rory.
Rory, he's not even involved.
No,
he's
just, way
you
back.
You can't stop watching golf.
No.
All right. Do we get into Chairgate right here?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
Okay, so you're a Giants fan.
Yeah.
Give us your take on what happened with Melanson in the bullpen as Piscotty goes for that ball.
Yeah. Well, first off, I think I would preface this by saying I have had a running argument with lots of fans over the last few years about bullpens being on the field. Okay, so let's just start there, because I think that is part of the layered nuance of this discussion. And AT&T has the same problem. This is not an exclusive Coliseum issue. This is a baseball problem. The bullpens need to be off the field of play. I don't want to see 7 guys down on the sidelines in an area where a guy can come and make a catch, and then you have the hill that the guy has to navigate, the pitcher's mound, and it just creates chaos where guys can get hurt. And when guys are making hundreds of millions of dollars in a sport where, you know, managers get fired and, you know, career arcs are changed, why would you jeopardize the health of your team, and why would you put these guys in that position? Here's the other thing. I've seen twice this year watching Giants games where pitchers have missed the catcher in the bullpen and the ball skirts onto the playing field. So
yes,
that's a whole nother level of safety.
And we've also seen at least once, and I wish I could remember the specific situation, but with one of these teams, I know I saw a play where the protector missed a foul ball and it almost hit a catcher. Like,
it's absurd.
It's only a little less stupid than that hill in center field in Houston was.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I understand with the baseball, the features, but this is one of the fun things we can do. I get all that. That's great. So, you know, put a pole right behind the fence or a hill behind the fence, or,
like Scott,
you know, a weird shaped wall or some bricks or a green monster or some Ivy, frankly, that's a brick wall that people run into. I don't think folks realize how rough Wrigley's wall is. That's its own issue. But do that weird stuff.
Yes.
Don't do stuff that's going to tear a knee.
It's ridiculous.
Like, what?
And Mac Williamson earlier this year, like,
yes,
he was playing really good, and then he trips and falls over the bullpen mound.
Concussed.
And now his career has forever changed. That's
a great point.
Would he have been a great ballplayer? We don't even know.
Well, he probably wasn't going to be an all-star ever, but could he have put together a good season and made himself a few extra million dollars? Maybe.
Yes, exactly. Now, Dustin Moore, years ago, famously, Giants are in the playoff hunt, and ball hit down the right field line. I want to say this was like 04-ish, you know. Dustin Moore in right field coming in on the ball, catches it, goes to make a throw off the pitcher's mound in foul territory, hyperextends the knee, flips and flops. Giants end up losing, I think it was Colorado. Again, this is off the top of my head, off Colorado. But it affected the outcome of their season, Matt. It affected the outcome of the season.
Here's a text. Saw an A's game when ball and player ran into a propane heater in the visitor pen. Exactly. And honestly, sure. If you want to be weird and you want to put them there, build a wall around
it. Yeah, exactly. Make it part of the foul territory.
Yes.
Where like the fans are almost.
Exactly. The fact that you should have professional athletes scrambling and grabbing chairs and running around to get out of the way.
It's the definition of insanity.
It's stupid. And Alon, did you have that? Alon told me there was something about, is this in my packet, about the wooden planks? Come on the air.
Don't be shy.
Don't be shy, Alon.
Come on.
You know what I'm talking
about.
Break
the seal,
bro. I know exactly what you're talking about. So during the broadcast last night, they said, well, at least the ball, this was the A's broadcast, at least the ball can't go under the bullpen dugout because they slapped some 2x4s from Home Depot on the wall.
I mean, what are we doing? It's a billion-dollar sport, billion-dollar entities, franchises. Each one's worth a couple billion, and we're slapping 2x4s like it's my backyard.
I know.
I mean, are you serious?
It's so incredible. This is like how I built a trellis for my tomato plant, and it's the same way.
Yeah.
They're handling the bullpen on the field. And both sides of town have this, right?
Yes, it's ridiculous. But then, and Candlestick used to have this too, where there would be like a little like cubby, and they'd have chairs, and the guys would be down there sitting on chairs, like literal folding chairs. What are we doing? So anyway,
that's what it was.
It was ridiculous. So last night,
and was it you who I was talking to that was like, well, you know, why do they even need chairs? Well, there's not that much seating out there. There's like a hard bench or a folding chair. Like, what do you want?
It's so ridiculous.
There's no reason to have the bullpen there. That's absolutely true. Okay, but let's get to the play specifically.
So Piscotty's coming in on a ball. There's like 5 to 7 guys in that bullpen area, some standing, some sitting, Melanson being one of them. Melanson goes to grab a chair. I think his intentions were positive. Get out of the way, move the stuff so he can get it, because the Giants did not want that ball to go under the little deck, if you will, under the little table, and be unplayable, which would make Hanson have to go back. So I understand where they were coming from. Melanson, in my opinion, again, opinion, and from the video footage, having seen it a couple times, unintentionally, as he's swinging the chair back to move out of the way, doesn't realize that here comes Piscotty, and it was almost like a Matador-type situation where Piscotty hit the chair. And look, Piscotty's footing was just enough, altered to where it looked like it affected him getting to the ball. I personally think there's no way he's going to throw out Hanson. Hanson's one of the fastest guys in the team. If you watch Hanson running, he's kind of lollygagging around third base, knowing he could turn on the Jets at any time. And yes, Piscotty makes an errant throw. Whether that was because of the footing, because of him getting knocked off balance, an argument can be made. I don't think it was obstruction, and I don't think that it was intentional contact, unintentional contact, that made the play in one direction, that made Piscotty make a wrong throw.
I want to know what the people think. 888-957-9570. What do you think of the chair play? Interference? Not interference? Called correctly? Let us know. PenskeAutoSales.com, text line 95795. And there's already one text I'm angry about. We'll talk about it next. Ski Team, 95.7 The Game. I kind of want to just let it play.
Me too.
Matt Kolsky, Joe Shasky on a Sunday morning.
Ski Team!
Yeah, catching the early bus over to the mountain, ride some fresh powder. Again, when I say that, it, it sounds weird.
So druggy.
It's not. It's not. I don't mean anything untoward.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
We've been up all night, so you just come down the gondola with us.
All right. So I just want to know what people think about this chair. I'm really trying not to say chairgate. Okay, this chair thing that happened.
But the media
it doesn't
went crazy.
Have to be a gate. Yeah. Well, look. I'll get to what I think in a second. I want to hear what the people think. 888-957-9570. PenskeAutoSales.com text line 95795. I told you before the break that we had a text I was upset about, but we also have a phenomenal text. So one on each side. First, bad news first. Mike from Emeryville. Come on, man. He says, fellas, no offense, but that's why the owners of baseball are billionaires and we're not. You know, want to save a buck. First of all, that's not English. Second of all, Mike, they're not saving money by putting bullpens on the field. If anything, they're putting them in a place to cost themselves millions of dollars spent on a player who blows his knee out on a dumb play. And not to mention, I don't know, what do you think it costs? $10 million to build a bullpen in the outfield? 80% of the stadiums in the league have bullpens off the field.
There's no way.
This is an old school thing. This is because it's at Wrigley and probably Fenway. Is it? No, Fenway, they're in the
back. Yeah, because those are tight,
old school.
It's because
they're old places that did it, and that's why AT&T did it for sure, because they wanted an old-timey feel. And look.
And they want the fans to be able to interact with guys, because that is a cool nuance. When you're sitting on the first or third baseline and a guy's warming up,
that still works in the outfield.
I agree. Put it in left field.
Now the bleacher fans get to yell at them.
Yeah, and put it in left field.
Yes. Great.
Especially at AT&T. AT&T has a huge spot. I know Oakland has spots in the outfield as well.
Oakland just has huge swaths of land sitting around that entire place. And here's the great text, because 925. Hold on. I'm going to give it a premature. 925 texture says, put the pens up on Mount Davis. Pitcher can zip line to the mound.
Love it. By the way, give me...
How badass would that be?
Give me the Tiger
Here comes roar. Blake Treinen. What's Blake Treinen's music?
I don't know.
Whatever
what
his music...
What is his walking music?
Theoretically. Yeah. You know, Metallica starts blasting. Blake Treinen hops on the zip line and flies down. That would be sick.
If he does Taylor Swift, though, I'm losing all respect.
That would be sick. Here you go.
Open Championship update. Jordan Spieth has dropped two shots. He is not in the leaderboard no more. It is Tiger Woods alone at the leader. No! Xander Schauffele and Tiger Woods are 7 under. They are in first place of the 147th British Open.
That is both a horrible British accent, and you did some weird things with the English language in the middle
baby.
Of it as well. 925 says AT&T forgot to put in the bullpen. That's why it's so close to the infield. Is that true?
No, I never heard that. I mean, maybe the architects will say that. I highly doubt that. They thought of everything. They had a guy who came through and designed the chi so that the flow, you know, I'm serious. The feng shui or whatever it's called. Like, they made sure that the vibe
was
good.
That's what it's called. Good knowledge.
Isn't that what it is, right?
Yeah, feng shui.
It was like a home designer or whatever. I watched this whole video on
That's
it.
Like when you put your Zen garden in your office for feng shui.
Exactly. Like that, to sit next to Phil Jackson.
Always good to start the morning with a dose of radio coffee. That is the Warrior in Antioch. What do you think about this bullpen situation, Warrior?
And no third party references.
No, all the third person references, please. Go ahead, Warrior. Wait, we got to put him on the air for him to talk. Warrior, there it is. And
what's
go.
Up? You got to put Warrior on.
Oh. That's a preview
fire!
Into. What's going on at 8:23 in the morning behind the scenes at 95.7 The Game? Warrior in Antioch, now it's your turn.
I think the Warriors' third party references or third person references are no less offensive than a fake British accent.
I would agree with that heartily.
Completely disagree.
I would heartily agree. Good job, Warrior. Go ahead.
Respectfully
disagree.
In any
other country, you would have been considered racist and perhaps having to attend sensitivity.
That may be going a little far, but go ahead.
Well, I don't think I'm going any further than are being more melodramatic than these guys make millions of dollars. Managers can get fired. You know what? Then why don't we just put a rubber room around the entire, infield, outfield, behind home plate? Because somebody may get tired. Listen, you're more likely to burn yourself with an iron, a la John Smoltz, than you are to blow a knee out in that area.
Oh, that's very untrue. Hold on, Warrior. I have seen multiple knees blown out on those bullpens. I only know of one time someone burned themselves with an iron. I think right there you're incorrect.
Well, guys fall in the dugout. Say, listen, my problem isn't the location of the bullpen. My problem is the fact is they had those chairs out everywhere. I saw that at the Greer when I kind of wanted to go see the A's in Nashville. And the same type of thing happened because the players, let's put those in there so they can't be moved. I don't think that many people should be standing up in the field of play like
Agreed.
That. Almost hit two of the pitchers that were standing out in the outfield there. Should it have been interference? Yes, because he got hit with a chair. It wasn't like a human being trying to get out of the way.
But don't you think... Warrior, one second. Don't you think that... this hit by the chair. He was grazed by the chair. I know we're saying degrees.
Oh, Joe,
of
I think
nuance.
You should watch the replay. Thanks for the call,
Triple
Warrior.
Triple H was in the outfield. Valance's biggest contribution as a Giant.
I don't think it was a graze. I think you should watch that replay again. I would say he ran Melanson. Okay, so I'll tell you where I'm at before we get to our next couple calls. And if you want to weigh in on the bullpen. Whether it's about the bullpen being on the field or just about the play specifically, here's a text from a 510. It was definitely unintentional, but like Popovich said, have you heard about manslaughter? You still go to jail. It was unintentional, but definitely interfered with Piscotty throw. Now, yeah,
Melanson in jail.
I'm not prepared. No, that's a good point. I'm not prepared to say it definitely interfered with Piscotty's throw. But if we're going to just talk about specifically what happened, what I saw was Melanson, again, not intentionally. He didn't see Piscotty. He's just trying to pick up a chair. But he picked it up in such a way that he took a chair that was not in Stephen Piscotty's way and lifted it and turned it directly into Stephen Piscotty's path.
With his back turned, not
not on purpose, but that's what happened.
Agreed.
He turned it right into Piscotty's path, and Piscotty kind of ran into...
What do you think, his hip? I would say the hip area of the thigh?
Yeah, but it seemed like his legs kind of went between the legs of the chair and got a little tangled, and so then he kind of spins around as he's throwing, and he's off balance, and it was a terrible throw.
Let me ask you this. Was he... unobstructed, was he going to throw out Hanson at the plate?
I said as Hanson turned third and right before Piscotty ran into the chair, I said out loud, he's out. Because I didn't think he was... I thought if Piscotty picked the ball up and threw it, he'd have had him by 10 feet. And I think that's right. If you watch the replay, the ball gets there 10 feet before Hanson. It's just... I guess it was Fegley is... 15 feet from the plate when he picks it up.
So we're assuming he's making a perfect throw to home.
No, I can't assume, and I don't agree with the guy who says it definitely interfered with the throw, but I don't think that's the barometer. So here's the rule. MLB rule 6.01D. In case, and I'm reading this verbatim, folks, it does not make a ton of sense in the English language, but here we go. In case of unintentional interference with play by any person herein authorized to be on the playing field, except members of the team at bat who are participating in the game or a base coach, any of whom interfere with a fielder attempting to field a batted or thrown ball or an umpire, the ball is alive and in play. Now, let me take the parenthetical out and see if it makes more sense. In case of unintentional interference with play by any person herein authorized to be on the playing field, the ball is alive and in play. Unfortunately, that's not a very comprehensive rule. Unintentional interference with play by any person herein authorized to be on the playing field. Now, I'm not sure Melanson in that situation is authorized to be on the playing field per se, so I don't know what to do with this rule. What I do know is... a foreign object held by a person who's not a part of the game affected the play. Thank you.
Huge par save from Tiger Woods, 7-under, still maintaining his co-lead.
With Schauffele.
Xander Schauffele.
It doesn't look like Schauffele, and I can't.
He's like an X-Men.
I can't.
Xander Schauffele.
Yeah, there's a texter who's very angry as well, who keeps pointing out that the rule says person, but this was a chair. Again, okay, it's a tough call. I understand why it went the way they did. If I was an A's fan, I think I'd probably not worry too much about it, since you do end up getting the win in the game. But, again, if it was me, I have to think that the fact that it's a foreign object in the possession of a non-active player, because Melanson's not even one of the guys warming up. He's just standing around.
A foreign
but
object.
But it is.
It's so funny.
I know, it's silly, but
it sounds like we're like JR. Like
yes,
JR
that's exactly right.
On Monday Night Raw. He's got a foreign object he got from underneath the stage.
It's a steel chair.
Yeah.
I just... that has to be that has to be distinguished for me, right? Because if Melanson's standing there and he doesn't see him, and Piscotty runs into him, that to me is that's unintentional. And although if you ask me, did Melanson do this on purpose? I'm certainly going to say no. It had enough of an impact that I think I'd have to call it interference. Now I don't know what that would even mean. And does that mean he goes back to third?
I don't know.
Does that mean he's out?
I don't know.
I don't know how that works.
Let me ask you this, because I feel like this is masking, you know, that the play itself with Piscotty, Melanson, all that, it's masking a couple of different nuances. First, there was two outs. He struck Hanson out. He struck him out.
Yeah, Blake Treinen.
Filthy slider.
Blake Treinen got a blown save for getting a save.
For
that's
doing
a brutal,
his job.
That's a brutal scenario.
So then, as the ball skips away, instead of Hanson running as hard as he can, he lollygags up to first.
Yeah, I don't know if I would say lollygag.
Because have you ever seen him run? He picks and chooses.
No, you're right.
When to, like, cruise it.
A little bit, but I wouldn't call it lollygagging so much as, like, he ran to first like a guy who didn't think second was a possibility.
That's a good
and
point.
Then he,
good point.
And then he sort of
I'll
he
amend.
Took the turn,
yes.
Right?
A big turn, aggressive turn.
Yeah, but at that point it was too late. And
So if he does it, if he takes second, though, right?
Right.
If he takes second, Matt Olson's in normal fielding position.
Yep.
Because he doesn't take second, you have Matt Olson holding him on, right? So now he's holding him on, and he has to bounce after the pitch is being thrown, you know, like a normal first baseman does. And then Olson doesn't catch the ball. And I heard a stat from Towney last week. Again, A's fans, tell me if I'm right or wrong. But Olson has more digouts, or close to as many digouts, as anyone in big league this year.
He certainly plays a good first base.
He plays a really good first, but he doesn't get a glove on that ball. It goes down the line. And so I feel like all those things are being masked. And had Hanson gone to second, is Olson in position to make that play? Had, you know, does Hanson score standing up? No problem.
Baseball, like, is such a weird sport.
So weird. And this all happened with two outs, and in an 0-2 pitch, you struck out Hanson with a filthy slider that Fegley can't. And this is the thing. Fegley's getting ripped. Defensively, he had a tough game.
Yeah.
On that pitch, no one is blocking that
pitch. Yeah, 510 texter ripping Fegley. Aside from Chairgate, I'm more upset about Fegley not blocking the ball into the ground from Treinen after Hanson swing.
That now, thing took a freaking break
tough,
off
man.
His shin guard.
Yeah, that was
Come
tough.
Come on.
He was in front of that. That was a tough play, but he was not good.
No, he wasn't. And defense, honestly, as brilliant as Brandon Crawford was defensively on multiple plays, I mean, just brilliant on multiple plays, I thought Hanson, I thought the A's outfield got bad jumps on a couple. The Giants had like five C&I single Texas Leaguer bloops.
Yeah.
It was like ridiculous. The Posey one, the Pence had a couple of them.
McCutcheon had a weird day in the outfield too.
He did. And as an outfielder, sometimes what ends up happening off the crack of the bat, you think it's hit more squarely than it is. So you take a step back because your first step is always back. And you don't come in as hard on it because you're afraid of it going over your head. So Fowler's young.
I wonder, too, if there was some weather weirdness going on there.
I think so, too.
Well, Canna was in center most of the day.
Was it Canna?
Yeah, Fowler pinch ran late.
Was that okay? That's how it worked itself out?
But, yeah. Okay, so this is also A's fans. I am upset because Treinen might not have blown the save, would it not be the so it's so we're worried about Blake's stats. I'm sure Blake appreciates it. He already made the All-Star game. His ERA now a gargantuan, what is it, 1.06, Alon? Was that what it was?
That doesn't
all
feel like
the way
it should
up
be earned.
To 1 point. It's almost 1.1. I mean, this guy, trade him. You got Familia.
He's
you don't
peaked.
Need trying it. 1.1? I don't need a closer who's given up more than a run every nine innings.
How dominant was
sorry,
he in
Alon,
that, in that 10th inning?
You have the number?
I was going to, yeah, it's 1.08. And
oh,
in the last
God.
2 weeks or 3 weeks, he's gone from 0.83 to above one.
I mean,
it's bad.
Forget this guy. Forget him. Forget about him.
And Trevino in the innings prior was absolutely dominant. That guy is so filthy. Our guys had no chance. And the at-bat between, I think it was Trinan and Posey, you want to talk about, or maybe it was, I think it was Trevino. It might have been Trevino and Posey with runners on. Dude, that, I'm not saying it was Gagne Bonds because it's a level down, but that was pretty fun.
Oh, yeah.
And for there him to some strike great him out.
There's some great stuff. I am loving, just on a side note, I am loving the Ray Black experience. And we'll get
you
into
got
more
me
Giants
fired up.
Stuff.
His backstory? Have you heard his backstory?
It's crazy. Let's go to Steve in Santa Rosa. Where are you at on this bullpen chair situation?
I got to say, I like the text that just came in that said, you know, we wouldn't even have ever had this happen had Fegley not got down and blocked that. He knows trying to throw in a dirty pitch in the dirt. And
sometimes it's just too dirty, though, Steve, right? Sometimes it's just it's so dirty that there's not much you can do.
That's true.
Have you played catcher before?
Absolutely for 10 years, actually.
Yeah, so you know.
Should have got down and blocked that.
I don't know, man. There's certain sliders in the dirt.
You don't know Steve's life. Steve might have been – Steve was great at blocking balls in the dirt. All right, Steve, go ahead.
So I got to say, if that's a fluke play, probably happens once a year going down the line that way off of Olsen's glove. But it happens more often on the foul balls, and, you know, that's – of course, the stadium versus the ballpark conversation. Of course, the A's are going to get a new ballpark coming up in a few years, so looking forward to that, too. So that's my 2 cents. I just think happens once a year. You know, they just have a lot of foul play there, so that's just part of the A's stadium.
Yeah, I hear you. I guess if your big hope is new stadium anyway, so you're not going to worry about the little things in this one.
Well, plus, I think if you were to eliminate – if you were to eliminate the bullpens being on the field, certain stadiums could bring the fans closer to the field by extending where the stands are. Part of the nuance of the Cali is that it's one of the last dual-purpose stadiums in the bigs. And so you have an extended amount of foul territory behind home plate, behind third, behind first base. And that's partly why it's so fun to watch Matt Chapman make those plays going to his, I guess it would be his right, but the fans left, because there's so much room for him to get to balls because he's so athletic.
Yeah, and, I mean, there's a trade-off. A lot of foul territory helps the pitchers.
Yes, agreed.
Let's go to Lowe in Danville. This is not Lorenzo Neal, is it?
No, it's not Lowe Neal. It's Ferocious. Mo with an M, but that's cool, man. Hey,
oh, Mo. Well, you know what?
My bad, Mo.
Alon. That's on Alon. Go ahead, Mo.
No, that's cool. No, I appreciate the call. I appreciate taking my call here on a Sunday morning. My 2 cents is, haven't we seen the chair incident come before? In 2007, I mean, Rangers A's brawl that involved a bullpen chair broke some poor lady's nose.
That was brutal.
I mean, enough with the chairs. Are these guys bringing like their own furniture with them in the clubhouse, like up to the field? They
Barry
have benches.
Bonds bringing in the lounge room.
Frankie Francisco. What was the guy's name? It wasn't Al Alcatraz. What?
It's got to be something like that. Frank Fernando.
Yeah, it was
Frank
Francisco or something like that. Yeah.
I don't remember.
Great call. That is great. Didn't Milton Bradley also get into it with somebody down the line?
He did.
Hold on. Didn't Milton Bradley get into it with somebody everywhere?
Yes.
I mean,
my bad.
What does Piscotty need to do? Like flail around like Neymar? Like,
no, he had to pull a Ginobili.
Like, claiming that he needed to,
He needs to sell the call like Harden.
Outrageous.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Mo.
Oh,
I mean,
hilarious.
That's the thing, right? Like, we can talk about the did it really affect, but at the end of the day, there should not be flying chairs in your way when you're going after a ball in a Major League Baseball game. That just shouldn't happen. There's no reason for it.
And here's the best part about the whole thing. The baseball gods worked it out. You won the game.
Yeah.
You know, the right outcome happened. You should have won the game. You eventually did win the game. And you know what? It was actually a better ending. In my opinion, it was a better ending for the fans, for the fan base, for everyone, for the rivalry, for everything.
Well, and somewhat hilariously, that may not have been the strangest play in the game.
No.
Because that play where Hansen on the bunt.
Oh, my goodness.
Where Hansen covers first and Pinder steps on his leg because he's sticking his leg directly in front of first base, and Maranta's over on the other side, nearly spraining his knee. Like, it was just a wacky game. Here's a tremendous text, and I doubt it's well-sourced, but years ago, A's pitching coach had to tell the relievers not to accept any more home-baked goodies from the season ticket holders behind the bullpen because they're all getting too fat. Is that real?
That can't be real.
I hope it's real.
That can't be real.
I hope it's real.
I need to hear from Bleacher Dave on that.
Here's what I really agree with is what a 408 texter sent us. The MLB rule for interference doesn't pass the eyeball test. They need to look at it again.
Totally agree on that one. I think we can all agree. And here's the problem. Whether malicious intent, like there's just too much ambiguity.
Right. And that's why I think we started this conversation by saying, get the bullpen out of there and we don't have to worry about nitpicking this conversation. All right, fine.
I'm Peter Alice here.
But don't do the British.
Tiger Woods is in the lead.
Oh, boy.
7 under all by himself. It's a glorious day here in Scotland.
Wow, what happened to your boy whose name I can't say?
Xander Schauffele, this is what we call it, ejected from coverage.
You know, in all seriousness, we'll get into a little bit more on golf coming up in a few minutes, but this is what used to happen. I don't know if people, certainly golf fans under like 25, are there golf fans under 25?
Yeah, my nephews.
Your nephews don't remember that it used to always be like this.
No, he's a video game guy to them. That's what they think of him.
Right.
As.
He's a video game guy. He's this guy. He's like Jack Nicklaus was to us, right?
Yes.
Back in the day, you can't believe how good this guy was back in the day. And we're like, sure, whatever. Dad Meanwhile, they're like, look at Rory. No way he was as good as this guy.
That's exactly what they say.
Yeah. So, but this is what it used to be like. Tiger would come on Sunday and guys would start shaking and trembling and falling apart. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, he's by himself at the top of the leaderboard.
It's incredible. Matt, I told you, I texted you guys coming in. What did I say? I said, he's got a chance. I said on Friday.
Something like, I'm going to be useless on today's show, Tigers in the running, I'm wearing red. It was like word salad, but it definitely involved your fandom. Oh, you also said, I picked Spieth, but I'm still wearing my red today.
And here's the best part. I brought goodies to make up for my lack of focus today.
That's true. You brought me breakfast food. Sandwiches, and so all was forgiven.
Yes, exactly. I'm a team player.
510 texter. This is all just another reason why baseball's old and trash. 925 says that it is really holding to this 80s baked goods story. So we need to do some research. Alon, can you research whether it is in fact true?
New segment called Google This.
Google. Let me Google this for you. Is it in fact true that 80s A's had to be told not to accept more baked goodies from fans because they were getting too fat? We got Connor Letourneau coming up at 9:20, 40 minutes or so from now. Going to get into some hoop talk, but we're going to do Joe a favor and talk a little bit about Le Tigre when
Thank
we get
you,
back.
Thank you, Jesus.
We are back, ski team. Matt Kolsky, Joe Shasky on a Sunday morning.
Championship Sunday.
Yeah, we're going to get to the golf in just one hot second, but a couple of things to clean up. First of all, to the conspiracy theory folks who say that the Giants forgot about the bullpens when they built AT&T Park, the answer to did they forget is no. This has come up. It is, in fact, a common urban legend. And here's how the urban legend goes. When AT&T Park was finished, it was designed, that it was Pac Bell at the time, it was designed to be a stadium first and a baseball park second. About 5 months before opening day, the players were given a tour. As they walked around, one unknown pitcher said, "Where's the bullpen?" And then they realized they forgot to build bullpens. Okay.
I gotta know who that unknown pitcher is. Is it Kirk Reeder?
It's a made up story, so the unknown pitcher is a made up thing. But here is what happened when Giants writer at the time, Grant Brisby, emailed Alfonso Felder, the senior vice president of facilities. Quote, "The bullpen location at AT&T Park was a deliberate design decision." Good alliteration. "Intended to maximize the ability of fans to see bullpen action, which is not possible in many new ballparks. Bullpens were on the field at Candlestick, and more importantly, they're on the field at Wrigley Field, a classic and intimate urban ballpark that served as a model for AT&T Park in many ways." Could we grab the audio from last segment where one of the hosts said, they built it to be like Wrigley.
Spot on. But you know what?
I love being right. I'm not going to lie.
You are right. And Tiger Woods is in the rough right now, but okay. He is the sole leader. And I'm telling you, this is great for the game of golf. It's Spieth versus Tiger Woods. And all I'm saying is,
thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
Before we get deep into golf, I want to take Pete in Brentwood's call because he has a question that I don't have an answer for, but I'm prepared to let him ask it on the air anyway. What's up, Pete?
Yeah, unless I missed it, what happened to Tony La Russa for the reunion?
Oh, Joe? I didn't even see that. I didn't see that La Russa wasn't there. He's probably doing something with Arf.
You're the team, for God's sake.
I know.
I heard that he's in an office job with the Red Sox.
I believe the problem is that Tony La Russa is employed by other franchises and perhaps even by Major League Baseball. No, it is the Red Sox.
He was with the Diamondbacks.
He was with the Diamondbacks, but that fell apart.
Dave Stewart.
Pete, I have no inside knowledge about this, but I think there's at least a possibility that he doesn't get along super well with everybody on the squad.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Tony La Russa is known for not necessarily getting along with everybody.
I would love to see him in McGuire and Canseco again. And Ricky.
Man, that team. You look back at that team, it really was something else.
Incredibly stacked.
Stacked.
I mean, I can almost name that entire team.
Yeah.
All right. It's incredible.
All right. I'm going to cede the floor to the junior senator from Golf Town. And we've got Tiger Woods, yes, in the rough right now, but in sole possession of the lead at a major in the middle of a Sunday. Obviously, I think everyone knows what Tiger has meant to golf in general. A texter saying Tony La Russa sent a video message.
Good. See?
So just couldn't be there in person.
Good.
Everyone knows, broadly speaking, what Tiger, who now just hit into the gallery, but seems to have gotten a lucky bounce out of the gallery.
He's in a good spot. You could see the ball.
Almost went from one rough to the other rough. Instead, took a bounce off a human and is back in play.
That's Army golf.
But let's quickly, in your mind, is the fall of Tiger more a story about his physical breakdown or his mental breakdown?
I think it's a combination of both. And I also think it's a psychological breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when his father...
That's what I mean by mental breakdown is not right. It's psychological.
Yeah, but it's a tragic story in many senses because you're talking about a guy that was the most dominant player in the game. He clearly had physical ailments where he tore his knee up. His last major, 2008, Torrey, he went an 18-hole playoff against Rocco Mediate.
With a broken
knee.
Knee.
On one leg, essentially. And you could see him literally hobbling the whole way around. And so then he rips his knee up. Just in 2013, though, he won like five or six tournaments. Player of the year.
Yeah, he had a good year.
Really good year. He just hasn't won any majors in 10 years.
But that was... Clearly... Majors were what defined
the barometer.
Tiger Woods.
He
always measured himself by them and told us to measure him by that. And was one of the most dominant major golf players in the history of the sport.
Sunday, red, he's in the lead, no one's beating him.
Yep.
You know, one of the things about Jack that's so phenomenal is not only does he have 18 majors, he has 19 second places.
Yeah.
Tiger doesn't have 19
second
places.
That's the argument for Jack as the best ever.
He wins. He just for wins several. And that's it. Right? So one of the things, clearly...
I think Dino just weighed in favor of Jack Nicklaus as the best ever. Is that what that was?
No. So, when he had the situation with his wife and the night that she took the 7-iron to the back of the car and clearly he was on some prescription pills.
Yeah. And I just, for the record, I'm team Elon on that, but it was rough.
It was. And this is a guy who he was trying to struggle to find who he was. And I think that throughout that entire time, not only is he not winning, not only is his body deteriorating, not only is his marriage in shambles, and he's been outed as basically a fraud.
Yeah.
Basically a fraud.
In the same way that a lot of other big time, A-Rod, for instance.
Exactly.
Right?
Kobe at times.
Kobe. There's this thing where certain, by the way, Tiger just gave his glove to the guy who bounced his ball back into a good position.
Awesome. Look at that guy. Look how happy he is. His wife is
thrilled. I love a nerdy golf fan glowing with pride after Tiger handed him a glove. That's a beautiful thing. I forget where I was going with Tiger before he did that wonderful thing. Yeah, so it's
been a 10-year road.
And it's a guy who clearly, as you said, like he had identity issues. Yeah. It's hard to live your whole life in the public eye, and no especially doubt. If you have problems and you're a person who's painted this picture of perfection.
Yeah.
And that's why I brought up A-Rod. I think Jordan hasn't had quite the downfall, but there are similar looks behind the curtain that make people go, ooh. Mm-hmm.
And unlike them, though, he has Michael Jackson stuff where he was a child phenom.
Yeah.
He was on television at 3 years old on the Johnny Carson show,
yep.
hitting the golf club.
Putting, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and similar to Todd Marinovich, he had a relationship with his father that was so...
The coach-father relationship.
Yes.
Yeah.
And when his father died, it changed him. And so unlike Rory, and unlike other players who I think people feel leave their talent on the table, I think that Tiger, ooh, he just made a bad chip. Just like
this hole is not a good one.
No, just like Kobe, Tiger has a... You can't say that he didn't work his butt off at every turn. If anything, he overworked.
Yeah.
And he kind of ruined his own body because he tried to do the Marine training and all this stuff.
Well, and the stories of the way he was sort of searching
yes.
after his father died, it even though a lot of Tiger's issues are self-inflicted,
mm-hmm.
it's still a little, it's kind of heartbreaking when you
it
read
is.
Sort of some of the stuff that the guy was going through.
And you know that he cares. That's
yes.
the other thing. Like, he cares what people think. He cares about winning. Like, this is all. And then for the last year, like, literally, I've watched him for the last 3 years, and I go, oh, he's coming back. I get all excited. And then he tweaks his back. And then he's out for a couple months. And then he has multiple neck fusions and back surgeries. Dude, it's incredible. And you know what? This texter in the 925, you know what? This is an element that no one wants to talk about, but this is a fact. It's hard to be a black man on the top of the world of a white man's sport. And it's incredible. Fuzzy
no
Zellers made ridiculous comments 20 years ago.
And by the way, that was 20 years ago and one dumb old man
yes.
making dumb public comments. But if you don't think that even as the consensus superhero of golf, Tiger Woods wasn't getting side-eyed at racist golf clubs, then you don't know what country clubs are like.
The Masters,
that guy, I can't imagine what he's dealt with.
Exactly. The Masters is so antiquated, it just allowed women a few years ago. Think
yeah.
about that.
I believe like Condi Rice was
yeah,
like the first woman
Rice.
To ever play there,
yeah.
right?
She's a member everywhere. It's ridiculous.
She must
I'm
be
jealous.
Good at golf, right?
She's an ambassador. She's a
okay, but I'm
yeah.
saying
yes.
she must be good at golf.
No, she is. She was on the Faraday show. She's like a 13, 14 handicap, which is good
That's
for
good.
Her. Yeah, it's really
That's good.
Good. She's a San Francisco Golf Club member as well, which pisses me off. Get me on there, Condi. Come on. But no, but again, this is a comeback. Whether he wins today or not, it's the most important story in sports because of name recognition, because of the story that he went through, because of who he is, just everything. And I think that we all love a comeback, and we like when someone, you know, not necessarily falls in the public eye, but crashes the way he did. You know, we want to embrace them on the other end, and this would be
well. We
sweet.
Like it. We like both sides, right?
Yes.
We love the fall, but we also love the redemption.
Yes.
By we mean America.
Yeah, and I'm excited for it. And look, Carnoustie is known for crazy, crazy finishes. Everyone knows John Vandeveld putting it into the creek multiple times. It's
the greatest collapse in golf history, or you give that to Norman?
Greatest collapse, maybe in. Sports history.
Vandeveld's bad.
Yeah. Up three and you triple bogey. And this is the crazy thing. He hits the putt for triple bogey to go to a playoff and then loses.
So here's another thing I want to actually ask you about, because this is where we can actually use your golf knowledge.
Hmm.
Tiger, frankly, since what was it, 2015 when he won a few tournaments?
2013.
Okay. So even longer. It's
yeah.
been 5 years since then. And since that point, it's been pretty rough. He's
really
had a
ugly.
Really hard time getting on the course
mm-hmm.
when he has. He's had some really bad rounds. He's missed a couple of cuts.
Shot in the 80s.
Yeah. So why now? Is it just that he's healthy? Is there something about this course?
It's a combination of things. Number one, he's using a putter that's completely different, and which is a shocker. He used the same Scotty Cameron 009 prototype for years. Now he's using a more mallet. I call it the old man putter. And it's incredible. The other part is, yes, he's clearly healthy. But this particular course, this particular style of golf... Link style. Oh, and he missed the putt. He's taking a double. He's going back. Now he's going to be basically one stroke behind the leaders. But it's a course that's so firm you don't need to hit a driver. And he's the greatest iron player maybe ever. And you have to hit different trajectory shots. And so it's a feel. It's much more of a feel than it is a bomb and gouge. The Dustin Johnsons, the Rorys, they don't have a huge advantage because you're hitting into the wind. And so his lack of pop, if you will, off the tee.
Sometimes you're better off just grounding it anyway.
Exactly.
With this wind on this course.
And having great short game, you know, and flighting the ball down underneath the wind and having the touch around the greens.
Speaking of which, Jordan Spieth, who you told me yesterday was one of the great, you said he was to long putting what Steph Curry was to the three-pointer.
Yes.
And I was like, that sounds a little aggressive. I don't know if I believe that. I'm not sure. And then I'm watching earlier today, and I guess he may have three-putted a couple holes ago, but as of earlier today, he had gone 223 consecutive holes on tour without a three-putt.
It's ridiculous.
I can't go two consecutive holes without a three. And I know I'm not a professional. I'm just saying, you're bound in 223 holes. Clearly, he had some 60 footers.
It's incredible, dude.
And so, like, that means every time he had a 60 footer for how many rounds of golf is that?
That's basically four.
No. 222 holes?
Yeah, you go 72
you're
rounds
talking about
for a
four
tournament.
Tournaments.
Yeah, tournaments.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're looking at like 16 rounds.
16 rounds of golf without a three putt.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I can't imagine how that is ridiculous. And he just almost made a 50 footer a second ago.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.